Peace, dear friends. Welcome back to Get Life Training with Christian Poderaro here on Relay Forever. And today we will talk about hope. So what do you hope? You know, people hope to live and not to die. And that's why, did you know that over 100 people die every minute? So what happens after this physical death? You know, we have choices that we're making. So depending on our choices in this life as a soul. I mean, if I drop dead right here, this body remains here. But this life, this soul goes somewhere. So we see that the hope of an atheist is nothing, is ceasing to exist. A hope of a Hinduist is reincarnation, is a cycle just of reincarnation, rebirth, until it's so good enough to be illuminated, to get out of the cycle. A Christian hope is eternal life in heaven, because we understand the purpose of life is an eternal relationship with God. He's out of time. He was, is, and will be. He's the eternal one. So we are freed from death and sin. And an Islamist hope is earning paradise instead of hellfire. And the paradise looks like for a man to have a lot of woman. But, you know, you kind of get the image of religions and the worldview of God is either no God, nothing, or many gods, like everything is God. I'm God, the trees are God, and this is a Hinduist. Or one God, which is a Christian, Judaic, and Islamist view. So we go with the one God view, and we look at what is the gospel. Because gospel is a good news. And what's the good news? Is the gift of eternal life. Because we want to live, and we want to live eternally. So can a gift be earned or deserved? It's a good question. Because we need to see that the most important is that you can live eternally. Woohoo! So you have the chance. So who wants to live forever? And how do you receive this gift? So let's take this journey together of your soul from creation to eternity and explore which road truly leads to God. We will see a clear answer found in the book of Acts, written 2,000 years ago, in chapter 2. And we will explore like the ABC of the good news of the gospel. And the first is to hear. Obviously, you need to hear in order to believe. And we will see who lived 2,000 years ago, why we count the year. And we're in the year we are because 2,000 years ago happened something. And it was the Son of God on earth. And we see from history, He was man, but also He was God. So we believe that, and we read some scriptures about the Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. And also the B side, or the second step, is our change, our transformation, our repentance, our cleansing, the baptism and the Holy Spirit. And the third part is the congregation, how to continue this relationship in order to love one another and how to help others be saved. So, in Mark chapter 2, we see a situation happened 2,000 years ago. So, some people came bringing to Jesus. We can refer to him in the original name Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. The name of the Father is the one who was, is, and will be Jehovah. And the name of the Son is Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. And so they bring this man to Jesus. And this man was paralyzed. He wasn't able to move. And he was carried by four men. And when they were unable to get him because of the crowd, there are so many people wanting to be around Jesus, just like us, want to be around him. They removed the roof above him. Imagine that, just you're in the house and bam, the roof is breaking up and there's a hole in the roof. and after digging an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralyzed man was lying. So, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Some of the scribes were sitting there and thinking over in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except God?" So these religious people were thinking about, only God can forgive sins. So immediately, Jesus, being aware in his spirit that they were thinking that way without themselves, said to them, "Why are you thinking about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? Which is easier? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." What happened? He got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So what we get from this history? We connected the power of forgiving sins, all our failures that separate us from God, with this miracle. And so we believe this happened. And that's why we believe that Jesus, the anointed Yeshua, can also forgive us. He has that power. And that's why we choose to follow him as disciples. And this man was obedient. He believed. He went through the roof. He believed what he heard. And he was healed. And this is happening with each and every one that hears and believes. They're healed and they can walk. And people are amazed and praising God. So this is something that Jesus said in John chapter 3. He's saying, unless someone is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter and see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Because where the will of the King is being done, that's where his kingdom is. So, born again. We need to be born again from what? From water and the Spirit. So that's what Jesus said. And then, in the words of Peter, because Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, and on you I will build my church. I will start the assembly, the congregation." And we see all these prophecies from Daniel chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And these prophecies were about a time in history where the kingdom of heaven will replace all the kingdoms of this world and will remain forever. It's the last world order. And it's the moment when his people, the people of God, will receive a seal, a mark on their forehead. They'll be filled with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit, the clean Spirit. And so, the starting of this happened like he was at this celebration of Pentecost. People were coming from all over with the purpose of worshiping Jehovah. And they were basically gathered together. Peter started preaching. And the whole point here remaining from Psalms, and he was saying basically that Jesus is the Christ, that the anointed Yeshua is here. And he said, "Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Christ, Messiah, anointed with oil, meaning like the King of Kings, the one who has power, dominion, authority in heaven and on earth. and we see that connection between the miracles. The purpose of the miracles 2,000 years ago was, number one, to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And number two, we will see that this good news is not just for the Jews, but it's for all the nations. This is the gift, Matyahu, the gift of Yah, the gift of Yehovah for all the nations, is the kingdom of heaven. So, this is what he's saying, basically, and they were pierced to the heart because they knew that Jesus was crucified, and they allowed that, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what are you going to do? What shall we do?" And this is a good reply. When you share the good news that, hey, you can live eternally. Why? Because your sins are separating you from God and from eternal life. But there's a gift that you can receive. And the way you receive it is you believe. The answer will be, okay, what should I do? This is the answer, the reply. But Peter said to them, "Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." For what? For forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he said two things to those who hear and believed. Repent and be baptized, be immersed, submersed into water. In the name of Jesus Christ, the anointed Yeshua. For two things. Forgiveness of sins, cleansing, remission of sins, of failures, and receiving Holy Spirit as a gift. For this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. We are far away, 2,000 years now, and we are reading these words, and we are called. If you have been called, you replied like this, you repented and you were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and you received the Holy Spirit. If not, God is calling you now. This is the promise that everybody on earth has for eternal life. So, what they did? With many other words, he was testifying and kept urging them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation. Be rescued from this corrupted generation. Be delivered from this polluted generation." Well, honestly, from the beginning of the world until the end of the world, every generation will be corrupted, perverse, polluted. And we see around us, we have more pollution, more and more pollution. But there's hope. There's hope you can be clean spiritually from sin and physically also healed in the name of Jesus. So then what? Those who had received this word, they were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. This day was prepared and all the prophecy being fulfilled, all these people who are worthy seeking God. So let's not have unrealistic expectation, thinking that, hey, nowadays, why don't we have thousands of people being baptized? It's because God is preparing that. And so it can be, but it's like a net. Are you casting a net? Calling people to celebrate God, calling people to repent and be baptized. Let's do this. Because this is what God wants for us. This is the promise. So, we see this kind of the ABC of the gospel, because they heard and they believed, number one. Number two, they repented and they were baptized. And number three, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and to prayer. So, they had everything in common. And it's like a family, a big family of God internationally. So, fellowship, continuing to congregate, and they were like daily eating together. That's the best time, when you get together to eat with the brothers and sisters and breaking bread, taking communion, praying, singing, and sharing in one another's needs. So, let's move forward in the book of Acts, we see Philip also. He was one of the deacons and also an evangelist. And we see Philip that was sent into the desert. And he opened his mouth, beginning from the scripture from Isaiah 53. We know it as chapter 53 right now. But imagine, this man was coming from Africa, and he was seeking God. And I imagine he wasn't able to enter into the temple because he was from the other nations and he was a eunuch. But he was seeking God, and God saw his heart, and he sent Philip to help him. And he was humble enough. I mean, he was reading the scriptures, and he was exactly in the scroll where the scripture was prophesying about Christ. So he was explaining about Jesus. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?" So he ordered that the chariot stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. So this is the answer when we believe, and a man who's seeking God. And it's very interesting to see, just like the son of Noah in Genesis, there are like three sons, and they repopulated the earth from three different directions. Let's put it this way. We see the gospel being spread in the book of Acts in three different directions. Acts 8, 9, and 10. Like Africa, Asia, with Paul, and then in 10 with Cornelius towards Europe. And now we know from history, Europe spread it towards America and Australia. But it's interesting to see that study. And so we go to the letters of Paul to look into that hope of eternal life. And so as we looked at the words of Jesus and the words of Peter, now we look at the words of Paul. In Romans chapter 6, he was writing to some disciples. These were Christians. These were people who were already being baptized. They were saved. It's not how to get saved. He's just reminding them. And he said, "You not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we may walk in newness of life." So just like he died and he rose, we have been baptized and raised to a new life. That's the moment when we get to a new life. We get our names written in heaven. We get into the kingdom of God. We get into the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the body of the anointed one, membership, citizenship in heaven. And so we have a study about all these details, all these verses. But now we look forward how to be united, because he said, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is freed from sin. Woohoo! Hallelujah! We are free from sin, because sin destroys, sin separates, and so we are free. And we hope in the resurrection. We believe Jesus Christ died, and after he was resurrected, he didn't die again. He went ascension to heaven. So we trust that whatever happens into this world, this is the hope. We have the hope that we will live eternally. He will take care of us. He has the power to take care of us. But our part is to receive this gift. And we receive it when we repent and are baptized. Because the Holy Spirit cannot enter in a heart that is filthy, but in a heart that has been cleansed from sin. So, we look forward in another letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the whole chapter is about the resurrection. And he's saying, I made known to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also persevere, by which you also are saved. So this is the gospel, this is the good news, the gift, that we can be saved. And we're saved. But we need to persevere. If you hold firmly to the word which I preach to you, hold firmly to the word. This is the word. Unless you believed in vain. For I handed down to you as of first importance that I also received. He received. We received. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. And most of them who remain until now. But some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Paul, meaning humble. He was humble. And we feel that in his writings. His name matches the description. Humble. And on the site you can listen to the Salvation Hymn. I composed this hymn starting from 2002. Been working, praying, fasting, asking advice, learning, testing, singing in congregation, commercial in all kinds of ways. But it sounds like this. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day, and he was seen. And it continues. But I encourage you to listen to the whole song because it has Acts chapter 2. I've been searching and it's the only song has the Acts chapter 2 being sang as the salvation hymn. And so we see here also the ABC of the gospel, the 1, 2, 3, the steps, is those who heard and believed, they repented, that they were baptized. And here, specifically, when you say Christ, when you say the Messiah, when you believe he was the anointed one, you believe. Then he died for us. This means to repent. To die of ourselves, to replace what's not working with what's working. That's great news because we don't have to be stuck in failure. We can succeed. We can move forward. Praise God. And so then he was buried and he has been raised, which we read earlier. It's being baptized. And then he appeared first to the disciples and the apostles. And this is the communion, this is the congregation, this is continuing to assemble. Why? In order to love one another, pray one for another, exhort one another, encourage one another, have fellowship, eat together. And this is great. But then he appeared to Paul. He wasn't a disciple yet. He was a Jew persecuting the disciples. So basically part of the gospel is to convert people, to help them see the light. So, let's move forward. One more thing, which is very important, part of the repentance. Because when you look at the commandments, and when you look at the prophets, and when you look at Jesus' ministry, and John the Baptist, and the apostles, from the beginning to the end, when Jesus started, he said what? Repent, for the kingdom is near. In the book of Revelation, when you have kind of the last messages sent through John to the churches, he mainly said, repent. So it's important to define what repentance means in your life. What kind of change, what kind of turnaround, what kind of transformation, replacing thoughts, words, deeds, feelings in your life. And so, a great definition of repentance, it's in the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And Paul is saying here, godly sorrow works repentance for salvation, not to be repented of. Yet the sorrow of the world works death. So there's two kinds of sorrow. And we know both of them. Like, the sorrow of the world is when it wasn't my way. Because that's how our spiritual enemies are telling us, do your will, whatever you want. So when it's not my will, I get angry. Ah, it wasn't my way. And that kills each and every one of us slowly. Where's that? But godly sorrow, it's sadness. And that works change, because I'm sad because I missed all these years without reading the scriptures that gives us wisdom. And the word of God that is alive and powerful and can equip me for every good work. So I missed all this time and I'm sad. And I want to repent. I want to change. So from now on, every morning, the first thing, I will feed my soul with the scriptures. That's an example, right? Starting every situation with the scripture. Because you have everything under the sun in the scripture. You can find solution for every problem. And asking guidance from Him. Saying, thank you, God. If you know Him, you start recognizing Him. Thank you for the air. Thank you for the sun. I have the light. I can see. I have clothing. I have shelter. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the connections. Family, friends. So, we begin everything with God, walking by faith, multiplying blessings. And so, this is kind of what we see in Bereshit, in Genesis. In the beginning, we begin everything with God. So this is an example of repentance, when you can be sad because there have been so many mornings without starting with God. And so repentance means I turn around. I decide today, I start every morning with God, in scripture, in prayer. And my prayer is, how can I apply this practice? How can I completely fulfill your will with this? Okay, so when we look at the book of Hebrews, we see wisdom from the past, power in the present, a love for the future. And so what's happening there is, like, if I have to bar down to do things, is like being content with what you already have. If you are content with one God, Jehovah, He's the provider of everything in my life. He gave me immune system. I have to take care of my body, but He will take care of my health. He will take care. He's taking care of my finances. He's taking care of my relationships. He forgave me and I can forgive freely. You know, so being content. How content are you with what you already have? So replacing criticizing, replacing complainments with being content. This is key. This will save your life. It's not selfishness. It's not sorrow of the world that works that. It's sadness that brings repentance, that you don't have to change that. That remains with you. So if we start everything with God, you're content with what we already have, you're praising God for what the little we have. If you think, well, I'm due with my bills, thank God, until now I paid all the bills. And He helped me and He provided and He'll provide. And so being grateful multiplies what you already have. So give attention with what you want to continue, what you want to multiply. Give attention to the small things. Say, hey, thank you for the small thing. But you know what? Honestly, we need air more than anything else. And how much air does God is providing? Abundant. God is abundant. He already has everything you need, everything you want that is righteous. You just have to ask. If you are grateful and you're asking, so intentionally give love to God and to others. Love is giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, love is giving. And do you think how God feels love? Well, He feels love first and foremost, to praises. We look at the book of Tehillim, Psalms, praises. And that's the reaction to the instruction. You see the people of God praising God for the provision, for rescuing, saving them. So, we love God when we praise Him. We love God whenever we do something for others that cannot repay us. And we go on our day, when we start with Him, serving Him. If you go to work, if you're learning something, if you visit someone, whatever you do, think that you're doing it for God. Because if you don't think this is not for God, maybe you should not do it. And so this is love. It can be words, it can be deeds, it can be things, giving something to others that they need. And so we thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for the encouragements. You're writing down comments, giving donations, supporting the ministry, Late Forever, Cantando Escrituras, Cristian Poderaro. All this missionary work we're doing internationally in English, Spanish, Romanian. Thank you so much. You are basically gathering treasure in heaven. You'll be amazed when you get there and that priest prepare for you. So these are some examples of godly sorrow that you can replace. And so we will conclude. Basically, the gospel is good news. You can live eternally. Woohoo! And you can make this decision today because you heard and you believe that the anointed Yeshua has all the power and He can deliver you from sin and heal you, and you follow Him as a disciple. And so repentance, we describe what kind of that looks like in our lives, and you decide to transform, to repent and be baptized if you haven't been baptized in a church of Christ, in an assembly of the anointed one. And also continue to congregate and convert the lost. We need each other. We want to be with one another. And you know what? In heaven, as we read through the Bible, we see it's an amazing worship and fellowship. Light and love and everything you desire to the fullest. But the only thing we can do on here is to seek and save the lost. And the Son of God had that heart for the lost. So, let's be intentional on our prayer list and write down names of the people that we'll encounter so that the Holy Spirit, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, with the confidence, with the love, will open our mouth and call them to be saved, to have this gift. And whatever arguments they have, let's continue to love, let's continue to pray, let's continue to be like God. He's holy and let's be holy. He's clean, let's be clean in our words, in our motives. So, would you like to start a new life if you have already been clean from sin? Do you want to have these true friendships closer to God and closer to one another? Okay, so this is your chance. Repent today, and I will say a prayer for all of you who have been together in this time in such a way that God will bless your decisions. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the purpose of life, understanding the meaning of life, to live with you eternally. We understand you want this relationship based on our decision. You want us to want you, but you want us. And for each and every one that gets to this recording, I know that you love them. You love them deeply. You already gave them air and light and food and clothing and shelter and friends and family and all the things that they already have. We already have. So praise you for all these things. And we recognize you. You created the heaven, the earth, the food that we eat, everything. If there is one God, you are the God that we recognize. And thank you for the scriptures that helps us understand you are the I Am, the was and will be, the eternal, out of time, Yehovah. We invoke your name for salvation. And thank you for your Son, Yeshua, that we can, through Him, be saved, delivered from sin and death, and have here a new life. Have here healing. Have here great friendships. I think about these thousands of people across the years that I met in missions and in churches and assemblies and houses of prayers, and I thank you because this goes to eternity. 100 years from now, I don't think I'll be here, but there's a place prepared for us. And Father, it's only your mercy to help each and every one of us replace in our thinking, in our words, in our hearts, in our deeds, everything that is not working with what's working. Because you know what's working. And help us, Father, recognize you every day in our works. Please bless each and every one that takes this decision. And if it's not yet baptized, today, to find a group of disciples and be baptized and receive forgiveness and receive the Holy Spirit. And I praise you that this is clear in the words of Peter, that Jesus said, through you I will start the church of Christ, his church, the Lord's church. It's clear when is the moment. And even when Jesus came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came. So this is the moment, a key moment. And then please bless each and everyone that is already saved, is a saint, is blessed to continue, Father, from glory to glory, to congregate and truly love each other. Today, to take the decision and write down, because I know there's a connection between mind and hand and heart, in such a way, how I will love God, how He loves me, and decide how, Father. And bless this decision. And also how to reach the lost. The relatives, the neighbors, the people in the community, Father. Because we understand this is the authority you give on earth to your people. And this is the embassy of heaven here on earth. And we can give citizenship in heaven. We can give cleansing from sin. We can give access to eternal life, which is more important than anything else. Because whatever happens into this world, you are the Savior. You are the only Savior. And even if someone is sick, you are the one who can produce healing in their body. And we praise you for this because you are the physician of physicians. More people came to Jesus for physical healing than spiritual things. So, Father, we ask your healing. We ask, Father, your salvation. We ask, Father, your mercy over each and every household in such a way that in every city, in every location will be a congregation. You'll be worshipped. You deserve to be worshipped on every street, in every house. But Father, raise up worthy men that will represent you in every location, in every generation, until the end of the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name, the anointed Yeshua. Amen. God bless you.